Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
I want to talk about men of integrity, and for a very quick moment before us, look at three different individuals, and they're all in the Old Testament, that showed integrity. We live in a world, in a time where there is an integrity crisis. People just don't hold up the way they used to. You might even say that character is who you are, and integrity is how long you hold on to it. We need to be good Christian men and women, and we need to do what God says every day, whether it's easy and whether it's hard. So three individuals, and our first one is in Genesis chapter 20. We'll really start reading in verse 1. We're going to end in about verse 6. But our first individual is a man named Abimelech. Now the Bible says that Abraham journeyed from thence. Now he's just left Sodom and Gomorrah. That's chapter 19. And he has journeyed thence into the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur. He lands in a place called Gerar. And Abram said of Sarah his wife that she is my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. And God came to Abimelech by night in a dream and said, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister, and she, even she herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and in the innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I not thee to touch her. Number one, Abimelech conducted himself with integrity. He took her in as a custom, but he didn't know her in the biblical sense. That's what he says there in verse 4, came not near her. They didn't know each other in that sense. See, Abraham's problem is he lied. And that's the second time, first one in Genesis chapter 12, he lies to the king of Egypt, or Pharaoh, that Sarah is his sister. Now, technically she is. Look at verse 12. Indeed, she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. So they're half-siblings, which the book of Leviticus will say you can't do that, but Leviticus hadn't been written yet. But I want to focus in on Abimelech because he was a man of integrity. Because through this custom, he had Sarah in his palace, in his possession, if you will. But he didn't go into her. He held out because he knew that was the wrong thing to do. And because of that, God speaks to him in a dream, says, I will not destroy you. Abimelech was a man of integrity. I want to look at Job. I think of Job, I think about patience, and I think of integrity. And I'd encourage you to turn there to the book of Job, right before Psalms, which right before the middle of the Bible, and just start at the beginning, Job chapter 2, if you will. We learn that Job was a righteous man. In fact, Job may have been one of the most righteous people of his day. He was probably a contemporary of Abraham, more in that time period than maybe some others. But I want you to know this, beginning in chapter 2 and verse 1. In chapter 1, Job practically loses everything he has. Chapter 2, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up it and down. Now pause. That's how Satan gets us. He is in the world. He is the father of the world, father of worldly things, the father of all lies, John 8:44. So we need to be careful. Peter depicts him as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's out there looking for his prey, but keep going. The Lord said unto Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. God saw the integrity of Job, but go with me to chapter 27. Let's skip ahead in the story a little bit. Job is a good example of maybe choose better friends or don't always listen to their advice because they don't always give him good advice, and going back and forth with his friends, and he pleads with God even towards the end of the book. But notice what Job says in Job 27 and 5. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me. Throughout Job's life, he was showing his integrity, not knowing why he was suffering. It would be real easy for us to go, well, I'm going through this bad time in life. These people have deserted me. I've lost this, I've lost that, I've lost my health, this, that, and the other. And it would be easy just give in the towel and give up. And Job didn't understand why all this was happening. When it was happening, he learns later. But at the time, he didn't know. Yet he still held on to his character. He still stayed faithful to the Lord, even when he didn't understand why everything was happening. So I would submit then that Job would be a man of integrity. But let's wind up on David. Go back to 1 Kings 9 and verse 4. David, the man after God's own heart, if you will, was also a man of integrity. 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 4. And then that will do it for our time before us, if I can get the pages to turn. 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 4. Of course, we know that David was a shepherd boy, and then he becomes king, second king over the United Kingdom. 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 4, the Bible says, now he's talking to Solomon, but he says, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Now we know that Solomon didn't walk in all the ways that his father did, and David was no perfect man by any means. David made mistakes, but David was also willing to repent of those mistakes. And David was a man of integrity because he maintained a true heart. Even when he fell short of God's word, God's commands, he got back in track, got back online, and he obeyed God. That's a good lesson for us because sometimes we fall away. Sometimes we make a decision that we shouldn't have, say things we shouldn't have done, and we err. We get out of God's good graces. But we need to be like David and repent. Be willing to admit and to repent. He does that in Psalm 51. He admits his sin, repents, and then strives to do better than what he'd done before. We need to be men of integrity or women of integrity like David and like Job and even that funny name Abimelech. Because those three good examples, three different kinds of people that show that we can stay true to God. Even if we don't understand why it's happening, even if we don't know what's lying ahead, we can still be obedient to God. Show your integrity, because God demands integrity of you and I. Maybe you're not a Christian. You can become one tonight as we sing this invitation song, All Things Are Ready, Come to the Feast. That table is laid out before you, and you just need to accept the invitation, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Go down that watery grave. Come out a new creature alive in Christ.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you. Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed, and it truly is an honor that we can sit here and read some of God's Word together. That's honestly one of the highlights of this program, is opening God's Word. Now, if you want to listen to this program again in its entirety, you can do so online anytime at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net, clicking on where it says radio program. This is program 206. And you can just find all of the ones that come before it and also the ones that come after it. I thought we would just read the Word, and why not begin in the book of Proverbs today? Proverbs 1, I'm reading from the King James Version. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple,
to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, let us come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and we shall all, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel. And with none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's the first proverb, or the first chapter in the book of Proverbs. I want to give you a reading plan you can do. I've been doing this for several years, and I mention it quite often in my preaching, but I want to make sure I mention it to you, dear friend on the radio. Every day I read a proverb. And so this is the proverb, Proverbs 1, that I read on the first of the month. And then tomorrow, the next day of the month, I would read Proverbs 2, and most days have 31 days. There's 31 Proverbs. Some months have 30 days. So on that last day, you pick up two Proverbs. The only one where you have to read multiple is in February, but that's okay. And in doing so, you just get ingrained in God's Word, and that's truly our goal. Maybe we can say something that will encourage you to do that here on Reading the Word. Thank you for being with us. We look forward to the next time when we can study together. May the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. It was Louis Dvorkin who said, "Don't let any measure of success blind you to what's in front of your face." Sometimes our measure of success steers us in the wrong direction. That's what happened to that certain rich man in the parable that Jesus spoke in Luke 12:16-21. When he was having a very good year, he wanted to pull down his barns, build bigger barns, put all his fruits and goods, and then figured he had it made. Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God reminded him that his soul would be required of him that night, and then whose would those things be? Friends, no matter how we've excelled physically, how are we doing spiritually? Visit us at InternationalGospelHour.com. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior. Have a good day.